Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up everybody and burn down the system. Pay us the exit pool. Wake up the silence.
Welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 41. Sounds like we're getting an impressive number of episodes there. And I know my voice sounds probably strange because I've been absent for the last 2 weeks co-hosting, but I have not been being idle. It's been crazy lately. And, yeah, conventions will do that to you. And then working with a press that has had a little horde of new releases coming up and all kinds of things and tasks and sundry items. So I am back. This is Steven, and I'm with Alex. And Michael, Michael West and Alex Brown, and we got some great guests. But how are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, surviving the storm.
Everybody's in survival mode. It's almost like, it kind of seems to be the theme of the poor Susan has been just working her tail off on the program for Imaginarium, so I didn't even bring it up to her tonight to be on, and then Sayla's feeling a little bit under the weather. So, but yeah, we got the triumvirate of guys is here, so this should be dangerous. me, Alex, and Michael. So yeah, this is our chance to create some mayhem in their absence. So. Counting on you. I got to get my rhythm back here online after being gone for 2 weeks.
You should be well rested.
So well rested. Oh, ask me on the September 22nd after I sleep about half the day. But it's going well. It is going well. But I mean, any run up to a convention and then having a bunch of new releases at a press and stuff. I mean, it's been a lot of activity. And but you know, shout out also to our great listeners. I know Eric, Jude, and Kylie are listening in tonight, and Carol, and of course I think the Vampire Carlstrom usually lurks out there somewhere, and Lex and some of them. So shout out to everybody that's listening tonight. But yeah, we got Imaginarium here in a week and a half. So you guys sort of ready?
I'm still recovering from Horrorhound.
Well, give us a Horrorhound report real quick. Give us a Horrorhound report real quick.
Oh, a Horrorhound report? Okay.
Yeah.
It was insane. There was tons of people, tons of celebrities. Had dinner with Hannibal Lecter. had some old friends.
We should have you for dinner.
No, I made it out alive. But some great concerts. There were some Horrorhound Records has some kick-ass bands, that's for sure. So we had some good concerts that we saw, and got to meet a lot of new readers and faithful readers alike, and of course there were copies for the first time anywhere of the new short story collection, Straitjacket Memories, and that was the big winner. Most of the people who went away with a book wanted that one.
Very cool. And Alex, what have you been up to, man? I haven't even gotten to talk to you in about a week and a half or so.
Well, after I finally received a computer, which wasn't a Dell computer, by the way, I went out and bought a new one, I was able to finally get caught up on a lot of great stuff. Southern Haunts 3 is finally now in the mode where it is just moving like a well-oiled machine. It's just going one story right after the other right now. So the two editors, myself and Louise, we should be finished with that probably by the end of this month, maybe middle of October. We're really hoping to have the stories back to the authors at least before Halloween. Other than that, still doing my single shot press with Pro Se Publishing and getting one short story out a month where it's vintage Halloween stories. You can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and look up the story The Night the Jack-O-Lantern Went Out for 99 cents. And I just started doing some blogging. I have my first blog up on traumatizedalexandersbrown.wordpress.com, and it's discussing the controversy of movies that have been banned or ones that have created lawsuits. So pretty much that is what I'm doing, and plus setting up signings for the Southern Haunts books and Cerinthia Falls. So I am in full work mode once again.
Alex is back. Cool. Well, tonight, we're kind of focusing on Imaginarium a bit, and to that effect, we've got a couple of very, very cool author guests that we have, and the first of them is a fellow that I am excited about having at Imaginarium, definitely a guy that focuses on the craft, and he's worked with some presses that are very near and dear to us, like Pro Se Press with like Ravencroft Springs, and he's also been in some anthologies with Dark Oak Press, and he's a journalist, a poet, and he lives in the fine city of Nashville, Tennessee. And definitely he's got a great presence, and he's a fellow long-haired guy, so I definitely give him props for that. So but he's joining us now, and I'd like to welcome Logan Masterson to the Star Chamber Show. You are live.
Hello, guys.
There he is.
Hey, Logan.
Hey there.
How you doing? Doing well.
Well, thank you
awesome.
For joining us
Can't
tonight.
Can't wait to see you at Imaginarium, man.
Yeah, we're just about a week away from the big show, and we're definitely looking forward to having you. You got a pretty, I'm sure Susan's got you quite busy on the panel front. So, what do you got cooking on Imaginarium weekend panels? I'm sure you got a pretty good load there.
Well, you know, it's not as heavy a load as some people seem to have, and that's okay. Gives me more time at the table and more time to actually sit in on panels and enjoy them. I've got, I'm in Breaking the Cycle, which is how to go from hobbyist to pro. I don't know that I'm qualified, but I'm going to be there anyway. And then Saturday evening, I'm going to be moderating the Faith and Fiction panel, which is going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to that. That should be pretty cool. And at 8 o'clock, I'm in the Creating Your Space panel, which is going to be cool. That's something I'm really into. I like to have the appropriate environment. Some people can work anywhere. I'm not that guy. And then Sunday, I've got a gaming panel, which is the Game Master's Guide to the First Campaign. Looking forward to all of them.
Very cool. Yeah. That's one of the things about Imaginarium that I'm really looking forward to is kind of the blend of creative writing spheres with not just the book side, but the filmmakers, the game design people, the comic graphic novel folks, and, you know, kind of bringing together those worlds of creative writing under one banner, and you have that reflected in your panel schedule, and so that's going to be a lot of fun. But I'd like to give you a chance to, you know, like I said, for a lot of the listeners tonight, you are, maybe a new author to them at least, maybe, of course, not to us and to the circuit that we go on convention-wise, but tell us a little bit about your spheres of writing and a little bit about the works you have out now.
Okay. Well, I do genre fiction, and by genre I mean pretty much everything that isn't romance. That's a genre, but it's not quite up my alley. I guess I'm uncomfortable with that level of intimacy, I suppose you could say. I write primarily horror, science fiction, fantasy. My first book, Ravencross Springs, was published back in May by Pro Se Press. That's very exciting, and it's the first of a trilogy. And then next month, I have coming out also with them on their Single Shot series, the first book of an 8-story epic fantasy.
Very cool. I know epic fantasy is something that I'm partial to, so that I want to hear a little bit about that for sure.
I have noticed that about you, yeah. And then I also have a couple of short stories in print with Dark Oak Press. I'm in their Luna's Children Stranger Worlds anthology, which is cool. The Luna's Children double book set is just awesome. There's so much cool stuff in there. And I also
it
have
truly
a story.
Is. And I love how when you put the two books together, it makes a complete face. So if the readers out there, if you buy Luna's Children 1, you need to buy Luna's Children 2 because you just can't have one without the other. It's just that great,
right.
Just saying.
It's a set. You got to have a complete set.
Yeah, and Alex, yeah, you get an extra bonus from Alan Gilbreth for that promotion right there.
Well, you know, Logan and I, we share that anthology, so.
Oh, no. No, I know. Yeah, I got to give Alan some, definitely got to give Alan some props because, he's definitely a force of nature, and he's going to be here next week too. So, yeah, we'll have a lot of the Dark Oak gang in the mix here with Kimberly and Alan. I know MB Weston is coming in, and several authors that, you know, probably are in a lot of those anthologies and books from Dark Oak. And I think Tommy is not going to be able to make it this year from Pro Se, and obviously there are going to be a lot of authors that are in Pro Se books that are coming up. So, yeah, they'll definitely be well represented. But Logan will be representing both. I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit there. What'd you say?
I said I hate to hear that Tommy won't make it, but we'll definitely try to rock extra hard to make up for him.
Yeah, it's always the joy of conventions. You have this, I mean, on our end as organizers, you have this massive last-minute ebb and flow where you have late people wanting to come in, and then you have people that for whatever reason have to cancel. So you have this last-minute maelstrom that makes it just insane on finalizing the schedules, which when you're trying to get the program as accurate as you can, it's a bit of a challenge. And that's why, poor Susan, we definitely had to give her the night off tonight. But let me tell you, Logan, you will have in your hands a 60-page, full-size, glossy paper program next week. So don't hold it against Susan that she's not on tonight too much, but because it'll be nice when you got that full program in and it's got all the guests in it and bios and the whole nine yards. It's really, really cool.
Nice. I look forward to seeing that. You know, I got to give you props for all the effort you're putting in on this. ConCom is not easy, man. Not for anybody. After, 20 years of doing it, it's still stressful and people are still pulling their hair out. So, good game.
Yeah. It's the thing about cons that I always find interesting is, like, it's like the first-year cons. They're always going to be the roughest because you're trying to introduce the concept, what it is. But you have a lot of fence sitters, a lot of people that just will hang back and just want to see, okay, can they survive? And if they do, then we'll come aboard in year two. But if they all came aboard in year one, it would definitely be a smashing, success. But you have a lot of people that kind of hang back to see how the first year goes. And so, that's why we've kept things, we got a ton to offer, but we haven't spread ourselves so thin that, it's going to get out of control. So hopefully, like I said, it will run, as smoothly as possible so that, the stage is set for next year. But definitely appreciate you know, I'm saying this right now, appreciate the authors that are there in year one. That's, you know, those guys and gals go in a special category with me, the ones that, you know, get behind the and participate the first year, because that's the, you know, that's the year that we have to set the foundation. And but how are you, how do you like the concept so far of, you know, I like to hear back from authors about how they, what they think about the concept of Imaginarium with making a convention that is completely centered around creative writing. How does that resonate with you so far?
Well, you know, I love it. I love the idea. And I'll be honest with you, you know, a lot of conventions are literary or have literary roots. I mean, that is the basis of our fandom. Before there were comics, there were books, you know. Before there were movies,
yeah,
there were books. But a lot of conventions have opened up a lot more. And that's not a bad thing at all, but having a place to go that is really focused on the words is really terrific. And, you know, I love the name. I love the image of the convention, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it all come together. And, you know, one thing I see a lot is cons that have devolved into party cons. A large number of the attendees are there to drop in the dealer's room for a half an hour, then sleep all day so they can party all night. And don't get me wrong, I will be partying. That is, it's just in my nature. You know, we don't make a whole lot at this gig when we're starting out. I'm not making a whole lot of money yet, so damn it, I'm going to have some fun. I like the idea of a serious craft-focused event. I think it's going to be really great.
Thank you. And, parties, as Michael West can attest. I mean, we got, like, Rodney Carlstrom coming. So, yeah, there'll definitely be some instigators there on the party front. Yeah, I'm sure that at night, that's why we end programming around 8, because we know that at night, yeah, people are going to have a little bit of fun. And so, you know, we don't want to, you know, like I said, take panels too deep into the night. You know, certainly we have a load of content during the day, but you know, like I said, it's gonna be a tight program with a lot to offer, and then at night everybody can in your case and mine, Logan, we can literally let our hair down, and party and have a little bit of fun. And we got some events like a masquerade and crazy erotica panel that I know that Susan and a lot of authors that she knows are putting on it at like late night one night, and those always end up being insane. And I think Crimson Heart and Alexander Christian, and that's a gang you've got to meet, because that's another cool thing I think about this convention is I think it's bringing together a few different circuits that I've been on. You know, I got a lot of people coming in from the Carolinas who do a lot of stuff out in, you know, Maryland and Virginia, you know, the great cons like Mysticon and Con Carolinas and all. A lot of that group's coming in, and then we've got a lot of group that's coming in that does like Mid-South Con and Hypericon and a lot of the Tennessee area, Mississippi kind of conventions. And then and this is going to be cool because they're all kind of meshed together, kind of a couple different groups that I know pretty well. And that's always a neat thing when we can make that kind of, you know, net. And that's one of the things about Imaginarium that I'd like to see, you know, benefit a guy like you, Logan, is just the networking, you know, and the ability to, you know, really connect in a good connecting type environment where it's not too crazy to actually talk to people and, you know, meet them. And hopefully you can make some a lot of new friends here this coming 19th to the 21st. But I think that's a benefit of it too.
Well, you know, networking is such an important part of the career path of any kind of independent creator. Without a good network, without solid friendships, alliances, you're not going to go very far.
It's true. There are days when Michael West calls me and says just the right thing to keep me from jumping off a bridge. It's true. The friendships are very important in this very stressful career path we've chosen.
Well, I'm glad I can be your Dr. Phil.
I just want to make a comment on the networking. One thing that I've learned is with Imaginarium, I hope that it is a con that continues to grow. And it's known as a literary con. It's known as an art con. It's known as an anime con. And then also it is known for their parties, because one thing that I have learned at quite a few conventions is that parties, if they're good parties, can actually be great networking sources. If it had not been for the after parties that I had been to, I would never have the pleasures of meeting Steven. I wouldn't have been able to meet Tommy, Alan, none of those people. And, I mean, that's a combination of a great con with a good after party. And another thing about networking, and I know that some of the people on my Facebook are like, oh, dear God, I'm getting another request from Alex or another invite from Alex. But one thing that I learned when I was doing internet marketing is that even though a convention is in one area, like let's say Imaginarium, you're still going to want to send out invites nationwide, because people could be vacationing to that area for the weekend. You could have people that are far away, but they have friends that live nearby there. And so it's good to work as much as you possibly can.
You betcha. And, you know, on that party networking note, you know, oil and vinegar don't mix unless you shake them up real good.
Well, without getting into details, yeah, we've shaken it up pretty good at some of these conventions. I know Alex has seen me cut loose a few times and have a little fun. And, oh, man, when the blue stuff comes around, that's when it gets dangerous.
Oh, God.
the blue stuff. Con without it.
Oh, you know, yeah, Shorty's always generous with me on that. Oh, man.
Every year, but I'm like, I'm not going to do the blue stuff, but then someone... And I regret it every year, even though it tastes amazing.
It really does. It's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad. Except I have to say that from Shorty, though, the one thing I loved, which I first tried at DuckCon in Chicago, were those kind of like Frito bag taco things that he made. Oh, my God, were those good. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Walking tacos, I believe that's what they're called.
I saw something very much like that on an Anthony Bourdain show on Netflix the other night. I was very amused.
I know Michael West would approve when he gets to try them. I don't think he's gotten to try these yet, but they are dynamite.
Uh-huh.
But
I'm looking forward to it.
We got to get Michael on the blue stuff. I don't know if Michael's had the blue stuff yet.
I've had the blue stuff.
Have you? Okay, because I don't know if you had the blue stuff yet. Because I usually encounter it like
stuff.
In the South Tunnel. But as far as, let's get back to a little bit of the more serious side of it. As far as the programming, I mean, we've got obviously a lot. I mean, there's over 140 workshops and panels. What kind of advice do you give for navigating, you know, like I said, large, you know, obviously when people can't go to everything, do you have advice for writers that are attending, Logan, being a veteran panelist and convention goer, on how to choose panels and what to attend, as far as like picking what they, you know, should go to? Do you have any insights for attendees on that from an author's perspective?
Sure. Well, I mean, one thing that's great is that you guys have pretty good descriptions of your panels, and I expect those will find their way into the program book, and that will make
they
it
are.
A little bit easy. Yeah, that'll make it a little bit easier for congoers to pick and choose. And you know, I think that one thing that's valuable is to get the opportunity to meet those authors that you've read or that you think you want to read, and that will help you to make that final decision. And if you've read them already, you know, it's great to meet somebody that whose words you've read on the page. And then when you hear their voice, you know, and you can go back and read it and find that their voice is coming through natively in prose. Another thing, especially for people who are on the fence or who are just starting out or who want to be creators, whether it's an author or a painter or a filmmaker, there's so much to choose from, you know, that you kind of want to lock into those things that are most interesting to you. But I just like as a writer, you know, we read outside of our genres to learn the tricks of the trade You know, we read mysteries to learn how to write tight prose. We read horror to learn how to to get really grim settings and overtones, you know. We read high fantasy to learn how to do action and adventure. Pulp is the same way. And you can really get a lot from that out of panels, too. As a creator, you can learn a lot from things that may not be what you would generally consider to be, you know, right in your zone.
And you have just hit the prize of the hour, Logan, because that is exactly what I want to see in Imaginarium in terms of, like a lot of genre-focused conventions I go to, you're not going to necessarily see the people that are strictly romance or mystery authors and things like that. Sometimes they do show up, but, you know, this one really does bring all those a mix together. It really does bring a comprehensive group of writers together that usually are in specialized kind of events, and you're exactly right. That's exactly why we did this. You hit it on the noggin, basically because you can pick up techniques that are useful for writing genre fiction from, you know, the romance of the mystery camps and the others, and then they can pick up some things about world building and all kinds of things from the genre writers. And so it's really, there is a cross-pollination that I can see occurring, which you just hit on the noggin. So yeah, definitely kudos to you for seeing the deeper level of what I was going for.
Well, I am glad that I have tied into your vision there a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's, to me, you can only write what you know, and so I try really hard to know everything. And a convention like this makes such a great opportunity to pick up on some details that are so easy to miss that, you know, when I saw the kind of slate you were pulling, the kind of events you were putting together, I just knew I had to come. So props to you once more for you know, all the work and putting together such a faceted jewel here.
It's going to be fun. I mean, like I said, you know, it's you know, on our end, you know, yeah, we're going to be busy, of course. But, you know, Michael and Alex, you know, they'll be having a little more fun because they get to come as attendees. But I have to wear my serious organizer cap all weekend, so that's going to be a little crazy on my end. But I don't think it's going to be too bad. I don't think it's going to be too bad. And yeah, in that room we got Amy McCorkle, and yeah, there's Eric Jude, and we have H. David Blaylock, who's actually on a pretty good blog tour this week. So yeah, we got some of the gang that's going to be at Imaginarium actually hanging out in the chat room with us tonight. So, and Amy's got a film premiere for Letters to Daniel coming up at the Imaginarium, and she's got a book launch party on Saturday. And then David is on, of course, probably a zillion panels because he's like a master of the craft. And Eric Jude is actually one of my top staff people who, you know, you'll get to meet him as well. So it's going to be cool. And he's got the, David's also immersed in his trilogy blog tour right now, which is going on with him and Jackie Gamber. So thought I'd mention that real quick. But you did get at the core of what Imaginarium is about. It's about, and not just with the mystery writers and romance writers, but we also, the cross-pollination with the screenwriters and the comic graphic novel writers and the game design writers. There will be some interesting cross-pollination there and an opportunity that I think will be kind of unique. Because we got some really good film people coming in, like Jeffrey Reddick, who created the Final Destination franchise, and then Scott Sullivan, who has written for things like The Tonight Show and NCIS Los Angeles. I mean, got some great screenwriters rolling in here, and so I think it's going to be cool if networking kind of pops out about that too. So yeah, Logan, you need to get your stuff turned into movies, man. That's what you need to do while you're there.
Well, and that's I was just about to say, you know, it's not like there's a writer out there somewhere who doesn't dream of sending a script to Hollywood, you know, and you know, there's so much opportunity in all the different media now, not just cross genre, but cross media. And you know, like look at Neil Gaiman. He started out writing comic books, and now he's one of the world's most widely known genre novelists.
Yeah, no, he definitely. And it's all about the art of storytelling. And storytelling, of course, does fall under different mediums now. But writing is at the root of all of that. So that's kind of what we're getting at. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to shake things up here, and we're going to bring aboard another guest. We promised him that we'd keep our – if Armand Rosamilia tried to call in tonight, we'd have to keep him on mute because he's dangerous whenever it comes to our next guest, who actually has a – everybody on the Internet needs to get this hashtag out tonight. Yes, we can trend it. Jay Wilburn is awesome. Just the words, Jay Wilburn is awesome. Hashtag that. Get that out there, and let's make this guy like a world-class trend on Twitter. Jay, you are now live on the Star Chamber Show. Welcome, author, guest, and subject of a documentary film and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Hey, I'm Jay Wilburn. Glad to be here.
You are here. Yeah, and we've been hashtagging you. I hope you've noticed that I always try to hashtag you with your – as much as possible.
Yeah, most of my real world friends are starting to think I'm a real jerk when that shows up.
You know, I always love Mark Davis, artist who always comments. He always says, "I hear this Jay Wilburn guy is awesome." Whenever I do the hashtag.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, I think.
Yeah, but we promise you, we will not allow Armand to take over the show tonight. You actually will get a chance to talk, even though, you know, he demands that we feature him like every week and every day on our blogs and everything. And yeah, he's insatiable. We have stocked extra M&Ms for him, but I want you to know that you are safe for the next half hour.
No, Armand has been very, very good to me. He's quite popular on our level of author, and I've been glad to be attached to him anytime he's got a project going.
Oh, he's a character. Him and Jerry Benn, so they're going to be a blast. And yeah, the chat room is going nuts with your hashtag, by the way. I think they've posted up 600 times. But tell us, on a serious note, we don't want people just to think that you're just a hashtag. Tell us about your writing and your film stuff real quick, just so they can introduce to you.
Okay, I write full time, but I'm pretty low level, you know. So I do ghost writing and some things like that to kind of pay the bills. But like, words are my career, so I usually make that work by being a pretty prolific short story writer. You know, you kind of write faster than the rejections, and I got a couple novels out, but I'm trying to get better about, you know, finishing the novels that I start. So I'm hoping to be a little better about that than I've been in the last year, you know, kind of paying the bills. I got into a cycle of churning out the short stories, which kind of cut into the novels, but kind of want to build a wider base on that, I think.
Very cool. And yeah, when you first contacted me about Imaginarium, interestingly enough, it was more from the film angle. You've got to be an author guest too, man. I mean, so we brought you aboard, but you tell us a little bit about the segue there.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. That's a little more difficult than kind of my wheelhouse of writing. I got a film company that we're in line with, but that may be another year or so out, I think, in terms of making that work. So we're kind of working out the details on that. We thought we would be able to start at this particular convention, but they had other projects in front, so it may be on into the next year before we actually start filming. But the idea was kind of to pick out just a few key authors, kind of the low level, and sort of just follow them around and kind of get the story of authors, and of course get interviews from several other people as you run into them in conventions, and you know, people that are doing it part time and people that are trying to do it full time, and kind of that mindset that goes behind, you know, trying to make a career at this when, you know, everybody in the world tells you it's a bad idea.
Well, I want you to follow around Michael Weston, because I've always wanted to know what the secret life of Michael West is about. So if you can, you can trail him for a while and get us the real story of Michael West. Yeah, we
keep an
appreciate
eye on him.
That.
You couldn't handle it.
Oh, man. Well, I can barely handle what I've got on my plate right now anymore. I'm dangerous.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're looking forward to you and Logan. It's going to be great to have you guys at Imaginarium, and you're coming, like I said, you know, you're coming from a whole other direction too geographically. So you guys are, you know, kind of reflecting what I'm talking about. You know, kind of bringing together a lot of different folks from different regions. So that's going to be awesome. What's your load like that weekend? Cause I haven't even had a chance to go through everybody's individual like assignments from Susan yet. But what's your schedule like?
I'm on six panels, some of the sort of freelancer ones like the beta readers, and I'm also on authors for hire, writers for hire, and a couple others like that as we go through. Which I'm excited about.
Susan,
you know, those are usually things that I don't get asked about very often, so it'll be kind of cool to sort of share some secrets there.
Cool. Was Susan bold enough to actually put you and Armand together on a panel?
Yeah.
She's that brave.
Yeah, we're on two. I think he's actually moderator on both of the ones we're on. So he's moderating beta readers, and he's moderating Zombie Horde. So we get to be on that. That'll be fun, though.
That'll be a perfect one for you guys. It looks like Susan's actually...
I mean, I'm looking forward to that one, actually.
Yeah, Susan's doing her job there. All right. So, yeah, she's getting the right folks in the right panels. But now, of course, Susan, I'm joking. Susan is meticulous as they get. So, yeah, I had no worries about that. But so what's your impression? What is the Jay Wilburn plan that weekend? What are you going to be up to in addition to panels and stuff? You have what are you going to be doing?
Well, I like meeting authors that I've, you know, been friends with for years and see for the first time at some convention, you know, so I kind of look forward to that. And also, it's kind of funny, and I was listening in to the first half of the show as I was on deck, but like you said, you know, you get genres that you don't normally interact with in the real world. And so, you know, I go to a good bit of horror conventions, and publishers that I run tables for from time to time as an author, you know, I'll end up at like maybe a comic book convention or that kind of thing. But at the same time, you know, I do write a lot of science fiction and other genre, and I have, you know, connections there that I just never run into because they go to a different set of conventions. So, you know, as the guest list builds, you know, and I look through and I'm like, oh, good, I get to meet that person for the first time, or, oh, good, I've read them but never seen them. So it is kind of cool to sort of get to interact with some of those worlds.
Yeah, and also a crossover with some of the screenwriters and stuff too, like I was talking to Logan about earlier. I mean, we've got some killer screenwriters coming in here, and Jeff Reddick, I mean, goes without saying, but you know, I mean, he spearheads a pretty nice group of film people that are rolling in. I mean, the film festival's not giant this year, and we did that on purpose. We didn't want to, you know, tackle too much the first year, but it's a solid little, you know, festival. It's going to run Friday and Saturday, and you know, we've got 11 award categories. But yeah, I think that some other things are going to add some dimension to what networking possibilities there are for authors like you and all.
Yeah, I am excited about it. Like most of the time when I go to a convention, and usually it's Hazardous Press that's sending me out, and I'll just work the table for them as an author. But so typically my convention experience is hours of sitting in one place, and then, you know, I catch a few people as we go along, or they come to me, you know, at the table for signings and stuff, and that's where my interacting goes. So being kind of not tethered to the vendor's room for the first time, you know, I'm actually going to be, you know, on more panels and kind of get to actually attend a few just as, you know, listening in as opposed to just the ones I'm on. So that's going to be a different experience for me, I think.
Yeah, and there's quite a bit, but like I said, you know, I mean, we don't want to, just run panels constantly, so we do end pretty much in that stuff by about 8 o'clock at night, just so that everybody's got their evenings free to do some pretty cool stuff, you know, so, yeah, we do, there will be, you know, that's the one thing I was trying to do is make sure that this isn't a stuffy kind of environment. I want to make sure that it's kind of a nice, relaxing, fun environment, too, in addition to having all the serious stuff. that kind of side by side. So, you know, that's going to be nice. Everybody hopefully will get to do the more concentrated stuff during the day, and then at night get to hang out. And God knows, I think that's going to be a dangerous time for me because I got to deal with Armand, I got to deal with Michael West and Carlstrom, and of course, when I hang out with Alex and Dylan, I mean, that always gets problematic with crazy stuff. So I'm in trouble because I'm actually hanging out with quite a few groups here. So, oh, man, it's going to get dangerous, I think, in a good way, but yes, as far as things go with conventions, I was asking Logan this question earlier, but what's your advice for like the writers that are coming that are like, oh my God, there's so much to pick from. What do I do? You know, what's your take on Logan answered this earlier, but, what's your take to new attendees on how to plan their panel schedule for attending?
I think his answer was good. I'm probably going to echo the two-prong answer that he gave, which is, you look at the question, okay, my career is blank. And so you look for panels that are going to build that up. You know, if you're looking at expanding into a podcast, and so you look at the panels that are going to give you some advice on that, or if you think, okay, I'm more graphic novels, then you make sure that you attend some of those and kind of get the expertise there. But then at the same time, you know, you also look at, okay, everything that's going in this hour, what's the thing that I know the least about? You know, that hour that I spend in there, everything's going to be new information. And I really enjoy writing cross-genre a good bit. I think I've made some pretty good career out of being able to blend pretty well, like kind of playing in other people's playgrounds. And so, you know, every little bit of information you can get from some other style of writing is a good thing. And, when I first started, everything was zombies. I was always writing, zombie short stories and working on the novel and a number of things like that. And then as I tried to get more serious about it, I started, branching off into other things. You know, as growing up, I'd always read science fiction and fantasy. And so I kind of tapped into that and started writing some of that and moved into steampunk. And then, it was at that point that suddenly, like, all my zombie stuff started, getting attention. I got into Best Horror of the Year, Volume 5, and, another story into a Prime Books anthology. And so it was like I was being pulled back towards the zombie stuff, but in reality, it was really that stuff had started to get better because I had a wider experience of writing. So as a writer, if you're serious about it, kind of push out into some of those other areas, and especially areas where you're not comfortable, and suddenly all your writing kind of becomes richer. So I guess, like Logan said, you mix it up of the things that are right in your wheelhouse and then the things that are about as far out as you can reach, I think.
Well, we got some amazing guests. I know a lot of genre fans and writers tend to be on the Star Chamber show, but I'm telling you, I mean, we got like J.M. Madden, who is both a New York Times and USA Today best-selling romance author, who is phenomenal. And I like to joke with her because actually on the day that we announced her for Imaginarium, she found out that she hit the New York Times list.
Yeah,
she already had been a USA Today. And so she and I had a fun little chat where I was joking with her about how Imaginarium, has now proven that it can bring good luck to your career.
We had
a good laugh about that one, but she's coming in with some really good romance authors like Jesse Coffey and all, who are just absolutely great at their craft there, and so we have some really good mystery authors rolling in, and there is a lot of cross pollination that can happen here, and then even beyond that kind of thing, the screenwriters, the game design writers, Dan Jolly, for instance, one of our Imaginators. I mean, he's done a miniseries, Terminator miniseries with Dark Horse Comics, and he also did like dialogue and game writing for a few of the Transformers video games and things like that. So, I mean, we've got some real killer guests who bring some really interesting dimensions to it. I don't know if you had a chance to meet Dan yet, because I see him at Conuga every year, but I'm definitely excited about having him roll in. We have, Yeah, in case people don't know, our Imaginators are kind of like a guest of honor. We have one declared guest of honor, and that's Rose Pressey, who's just absolutely wonderful. She's a USA Today bestselling author who's actually was a huge indie book success story, and she's actually from the Louisville area, so that'd be fun being a Louisville convention to have our first GOH be from Louisville. But our Imaginators are Jeff Reddick and then Maurice Brodus, who is he's got the Knights of Bretton Court series from Angry Robot, and he also does the Dark Faith anthologies with Apex Publishing, and then Dan Jolly's
another
Imaginator. Yeah.
And he was in Vampires Don't Sparkle.
Yes, he was. Which, by the way, had a very amazing editor, that particular book. It was Michael West. I just recalled that. No, that actually is a really good anthology. Tim Wagner and all kinds of great folks are in that one. But I think our Imaginators kind of reflect that kind of multidimensional thing you're talking about with across pollination and some of the different spheres and so forth. But like I said, you know, we do want to keep it, you know, not just, that's why we call it a convention, not a conference, because, and that's something that, you know, I've talked to Susan a lot about, but we want to have that kind of, that angle where it's fun and not just writers can feel comfortable coming to this, but we want to make it a nice environment for readers to come and meet you guys and feel like they, you know, they have stuff to do. And in this first year, we didn't do a whole ton of stuff in that department, but there is enough to definitely entertain. And I think with the kind of characters we have rolling in, like you and Logan, and of course, you know, go without saying Alan Gilbert, Sean Taylor, Armand. I mean, we've got crazy people rolling in here, so I think it's going to be a definite fun once you catalyze this group. But
yeah, I think I've been impressed with this one in terms of just the groundwork advertising that you guys have done, but then also like the chatter that's gone on about it being promoted by the people that are involved and, the people connected to them and so on. So there seems to be enough buzz where, you get that foot traffic. That's kind of the vital element between a success and something that, didn't quite meet your expectations.
So this is your first trip to Louisville. Actually, I asked a question to both of you guys. I don't think I asked you, Logan. Is this the first con in Louisville for you guys, or you guys been in before?
This is the first convention I've been to in Louisville.
Logan,
yeah, it'll be
what
my well, which is it's exciting. I look forward to hanging out. You know, another thing, I'd like to backtrack a second and make a comment real quick on the conference versus convention question. And I'll tell you another thing about the difference. In my experience, there are two fundamental differences. Conferences cost four times as much and are only as fun.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of partying at Rich Conference.
Well, that's true. I mean, I'm going to call it out right now. I mean, we have a ton more programming content than some writers' conferences I've seen that charge like $275, $350, $400 registration fees. I mean, and we blow them out of the water on the amount of programming that we have to offer. I mean, if you put them side by side, there's no comparison. And our registration, our maximum registration cost is $55. And so, yeah, we set out to do that on purpose because we know, I know Logan goes probably, Logan won't tell everybody about his pen name where he makes millions of dollars writing erotica, but, and then... But for most writers, I mean, yeah, it's like the budget is tight, and we understand that. And so when we did this convention, we wanted to give them major league content, but we wanted to make it affordable. So it wasn't $300 to get in the door. You know, we wanted to make sure it was affordable. And yeah, it's tough to make the costs meet, but $55 for all this, yeah, it's a bargain.
It is a tremendous value.
I actually like that you did bring that up because that is something that irks me because I do see some things where they charge outrageous amounts of money. And then when you look at the actual list of stuff they got maybe, a handful of things going on.
Yeah.
But you got to hit that formula where you actually get the points of contact. You know, it's no good if nobody comes in. So you got to, you know, you need to make the money, but you also need to get the people in the door. So it has to be both.
Yeah, it's a fine line, but we didn't want it to be cost prohibitive, and I don't think that 55 for the entire weekend is cost prohibitive, you know, like I said, to people to access it. So hopefully, like I said, that helps the authors. You know, I wish it could be, maybe Monster Energy will finally hear my cry and come in with, like, massive sponsorship, and then we could charge even less. But we have to, unfortunately, there
I'm
are
sure
a
they're
ton
listening in right
of
now.
Costs. Yeah, they better be because I promote them all the time. I'm on a quest to make sure that they know I exist. That's my big quest. But there are costs. I mean, yeah, unfortunately, and I think you'll like. I mean, you know, even though like I said, we do have some nice sheen. I think you guys are gonna dig some of the nice little touches. We actually, we have real nice. I tell Logan earlier. I don't know if you caught it, Jay, but Susan put together a beautiful program. It's 60 pages, glossy, full size, beautiful program. I mean, we've got really nice signage. I mean, all little touches, like even the lanyards are collectible, and we've even got, thanks to Joe Garcia of Fast Custom Shirts, we have some really nice shirts rolling in. Some of those little touches, I think, will reflect the kind of the quality that we're aiming for. So even though we are inexpensive, we still got the sheen, that'll look nice. So I think you'll,
that program
and then
be
of course
nice
the huge banner when you come in that just has hashtag Jay Willard is awesome on it. That's the first thing that,
okay, good,
that
good.
We're planning
you got,
on.
You got my contract
seeing.
With all my writers, I hear, so it's good.
Yeah, we put a second one of those banners in Armand's hotel room to greet him when we
arrived.
You
should do like
QR it's from space.
Be sure to bring Armand, everybody out there, bring Armand St. Louis Cardinal memorabilia. Anything you can get St. Louis Cardinal, he's a huge St. Louis Cardinals fan. Bring it to him at the convention. He will definitely appreciate that. And Jerry Benz will back me up on that. But you can already tell that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to harassing Armand quite a bit that weekend. But I think Louisville actually is a good city for, it's got a kind of centralized location for a lot of different regions. And, like UPS and all has a big hub there for that reason. But the cool thing is about the Crown, I think that both you guys will appreciate from going to conventions, is the fact that you don't have to go downtown. So there's no downtown driving. It's right off an interstate, straight off. Basically right off an exit, and it's right by the airport. And so, I mean, for accessibility, it is insanely accessible, and it's got a giant parking lot that is free parking. And so I think some of the other things that you just haven't gotten to see yet, I think you're really going to like when you guys come into Louisville for this at the Crown, because it's, like I said, it's a really accessible venue.
Tell us about the bar.
Yeah, there's a good bar there. I forget the name of it. Michael, do you remember the name of it? Because you've been to some events like when Fright Night was there and all. And
yeah,
really,
I can't remember the name of it, but it is an excellent bar. They do not water down the drinks at all, that is for sure.
Yeah.
It's so good you won't remember the name.
It's so good.
We'll just call it, Blackout.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. Oh, my God. That's funny.
We'll just call it home.
Well, the running joke. I mean, the running joke is that, when you go to a convention, it's like, where do you find the writers? The bar. And it's actually true. When I was looking for all the riders at a Fandom Fest one year, I went up to the big bar on the bridge that goes between the Galt House, buildings, and sure enough, filled with riders. It was easy to find them all.
And that was just Rodney.
Yeah. Look at this. David Blaylock is informative. How about that? He pipes in from the chat room. Thank God I just looked down there. The Blue Horse Bar and Cafe Terrace is what it's called. That's what it's called.
So H. David Blaylock seems to have informed us. Awesome.
Yeah, so David is on top of the game when it comes to the bar names in at the Crown Plaza. So, yeah, everybody buy David a drink. Get him a good scotch. He will appreciate that. Get him a quality scotch, and David will thank you and take care of you.
You guys, anybody ever seen the horror, the 1408?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Great line in that movie. The hotel owner asks the main character, he says, "Are you a drinking man?" The main character says, "I said I was a writer, didn't I?"
Oh, my God. We have another just real quick, and because I want to give you guys time to get out your links tonight, I'm going to bring them on real quick. We actually have Tony Acri is here from Hydra Publications and also a great author himself. Good thing I looked down and saw you there, Tony. You're on, man.
Well, you know, I think I'm going to have to pay for my membership in Canadian pennies. Is that okay to come to the convention?
Yeah.
Will you take Canadian pennies?
Oh, man. Actually, they're probably worth more than American pennies at this
point.
Yeah, that's right. They are, so. But, no, you guys have had a great show, and I just want to call in and make sure that and give the support because we're really looking forward to coming, and we've got a lot of Hydra authors who are going to be there, and I definitely will be checking out the bar. So.
Well, you are on the home front, Tony. If people don't know yet, but Hydra and Tony are from Louisville, so this is a hometown convention for Tony, and it's good to have you come on to welcome our incoming guests, Logan and Jay, and this is DJ from the famous hashtag that we've been handing around here, Tony.
Well, gentlemen, we'll see you when you get to town, and we're gonna have a lot of fun.
Yes, sir.
Good.
Looking forward to it.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling in, Tony. Appreciate it, man. There he is, Tony Acri from Hydra Publications. Oh, he's actually a great on panels. He's fabulous. I had him at Fandom Fest just a month or so ago. He was one of our panelists and moderators on literary track there. And yeah, you guys are really gonna enjoy being with him. He's quite a character. And Hydra is one of my fave indie publishers.
Hell, Hydra.
That I enjoy. Yeah. Yeah, Tony's a great guy, and they actually are one of our sponsors, so very grateful to have them as one of our core group of sponsors. We got a nice little group of sponsors this year, so. But we got about, let's see, little more than 2 minutes left, so I want to give both of you guys time to tell everyone out there how to find you. So we'll go first with Logan and end with Jay Wilburn, so he can give his hashtag again.
I don't get a hashtag. Just search my name, Logan L. Masterson, or my nick, Agonizer, AGONYZER, Agonizer.com, Agonizer at Gmail, at Agonizer on Twitter, all over the place.
Yes, sir. And, I've actually memorized that one, because I have tagged you a few times on things. But, all right, Jay, your turn, man.
All right, jaywilburn.com. I got an author page, Jay Wilburn, on Facebook, and then I'm at Among the Zombies on Twitter. So any of those will connect up.
Yeah, it'll seem like you're Among the Zombies when it hits about 2 a.m. at Imaginarium on Saturday night.
It's a life choice.
But we're going to have fun, and like I said, we got about just over a minute left, so if there's any last little shout-outs you guys want to do, we'll give the floor to you.
You go ahead, Logan.
Or we can better – go ahead. Or we can meditate for the last minute. Either or.
Well, I would like to just express my sympathy and best wishes and hopes to any person out there who lost a friend or family member in the 9/11 tragedy, as tomorrow is 9/11. So, most positive wishes to you and positive thoughts your way.
Definitely. And. And it's been great having you guys on the show. I definitely want to have you guys back after Imaginarium. Like I said, you know, tonight was a little bit of an Imaginarium slant since it's coming up next week. But we definitely want to have you, both of you back to be – you guys are great guests, and I really like you both. So thank you very much for joining us, and have a great night, guys.
No, I appreciate it.
Thanks so much
for having
me. Take care.
We'll see you next week,
night.
9 p.m. Eastern.